Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus our Christ. Good God day to all of you. This is the day that our Lord has made, and we will rejoice on purpose and be glad in it, no matter what we may face. Why? Because our Lord is good, and His mercy is new every morning, and it is from everlasting to everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One, and I would like to welcome everyone to today's broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, live from HNLC Studios. I give all glory and all honor and all worship and praise and adoration to the head of my life and my everything, my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I give recognition and respect to my pastors, Chief Apostle Dr. Prince A. Miles and Pastor Lady Monica R. Miles, of the International Gospel Deliverance Center Church, located in Southfield, Michigan. And I also give respect to my covering, my sponsors and founders of Harvest New Life Church International, Apostle Charles E. Ellis and Pastor Patty Ellis of Plano, Texas. I thank God for them allowing me to be a part of the HNLC Studios broadcasting team, all for the glory and honor of God. You can listen to my podcast called Food for Thought any time of the day on Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Spotify, Breaker, Radio.com, iHeartRadio, and many other podcast platforms where we study the Word of God together. All you have to do is type in the Little One, Food for Thought, and the podcast should come up. We're going to give everybody an opportunity to get their Bibles and notebooks and pens and paper, all of the things that we use when we get together on Tuesdays and Thursdays to study, and we'll be right back with a word of prayer and get right into our study. Amen. All right. I trust everyone has had an opportunity to get their Bibles and notebooks and pens and paper and all of the things that we use to study the Word of God with when we come together on Tuesdays and Thursdays at this time. Truly, it is such a beautiful time when we can get into the Word of God and set time aside for Him to just hear His voice and to just study His Word and hear what He has to say. You know, the Word, if you need peace, you go to the Word of God. If you need love, you go to the Word of God. If you need joy, you go to the Word of God. If you need endurance, you go to the Word of God. If you need wisdom, you go to the Word of God. Because as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Lord Jesus, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you need illumination, if you need direction, if you need strength, if you need courage, if you need wisdom, if you need knowledge, if you need guidance, if you need comfort, the Word of God if you need to know the will of God for your life, if we need to just understand where we are, what we're doing, why we're doing it, we run to Abba. We run to our Lord Jesus, the Christ. We run to the Holy Spirit. We run to the Word of God. Amen. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this time and this moment, this opportunity that you have given unto us to study your word. Lord, we thank you for another day. We are so grateful, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace, for your loving kindness, for your essence, for you just being who you are, Lord. We are so grateful to you. We just love on you, and we worship you, and we praise you, and we adore you, and we lift you up, and we magnify you. For there is none like you above the earth, and there is none like you in the earth, and there is none like you beneath the earth. Lord, we want to hear what you will have us to hear on this day. By your Spirit, O God, our ears are attentive to the Spirit of God. Ears are open and ready to receive the beautiful gifts of your word that you will give us on this day. Lord, we have an open heart to receive. Plant your words, your seeds, in our heart, O God, on this day. Thank you, Lord, for hiding us all behind the cross so that it is all of you and none of us. Holy Spirit, thank you for putting your words on my tongue and on my lips, that which you will have me to deliver unto your people on this day. Father, we pray for the listening audience, wherever they may be, Lord. We thank you that your presence engulfs them, surrounds them, rests upon them, in them. Lord, we thank you for your presence, for there is no distance in the Spirit. For you said, where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst. We reverence your presence, for you are in the midst of us, and we glorify you, and we magnify you. Thank you, Lord, again for this time that you have given unto us. Thank you for our breath, which is your breath, which is in our lungs. And because your breath is in our lungs, Lord, we praise you. And we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Today's lesson, our study session, will begin in, it's coming from Psalm, the 119th division of Psalm. Psalms verses 1 through 16. And of course, I will be reading from the Amplified Classic Edition, and all of us can follow along in our translations as we always do when we study together on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And Psalm 119, verses 1 through 16 reads, beginning at the first verse, it says, "Blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are the undefiled, the upright, the truly sincere, and blameless, in the way of the revealed will of God, who walk and order their conduct and conversation in the law of the Lord, the whole of God's revealed will." Verse 2, "Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are they who keep his testimonies, who seek, inquire for, and of him, and crave him with their whole heart. Yes, they do no unrighteousness, no willful wandering from his precepts. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts, that we should observe them diligently. Verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed and established to observe your statutes, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying them. Let's stop right there for a second in verse 5. You know, where would we be? Where would mankind be without the living word of God? Where would we be without the word of God? If we did not have the Bible, God's words from himself, his own lips, what he has told us to do and what he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it, where would we be? That's a scary thought to even think about. I don't even want to think about that. Because the word of God is the standard against which everything else is measured. We measure everything else, morals, virtues, goodness, rightness, things that are not right. Everything is measured by the standard of the Word of God. If we did not have that standard, if we did not have the example, if we did not have the physical manifestation of God's words for us, where would we be? Verse 5 says, oh, that my ways were directed and established to observe your statutes, hearing them, receiving them, loving them, and obeying them. Then shall I not be put to shame by failing to inherit your promises when I have respect to all your commandments. Now, Jesus came, and he is the author, the propitiator, the author of the New Covenant, the New Testament. And in that New Testament, the commandment that he has given unto us comes from John chapter 15, verse 12. And he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Now, if we go over to John chapter 1 and we look at verses 1 through 14, it says, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was present originally with God. And all things were made and came into existence through him, through the Word. And without him, without the word, was not even one thing made that has come into being. In him, the word, Jesus, the Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in the darkness. For the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we need direction, Jesus is the light. He is the light. In him, according to John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life. Number one, making things alive, the quickening of him, life. And the life that was in him was the light of men. Let's go back to Psalm 119, and let's look at verse 7. It says, I will praise and give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn by sanctified experiences your righteous judgments, your decisions against and punishments for particular lines of thought and conduct. Verse 8 says, I will keep your statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Now, verse 9, it says, how shall a young man or young woman cleanse his or her way? How do we do that? The second half of that verse says, by taking heed and keeping watch on himself or herself according to your word, conforming his or her life to it. The word of God. If we go in over into Proverbs chapter 1 and we look at verses 1 through 9, it says the Proverbs, truths obscurely expressed, maxims and parables of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, that people may know skillful and godly wisdom and instruction. The word of God is skillful and godly wisdom and instruction that leads to discernment and comprehension of the words of the Bible, of understanding and insight, that people may know skillful and godly wisdom, instruction, discern and comprehend the words of understanding and insight. Proverbs. Not only will they discern and comprehend the words of understanding and insight, but they will receive instruction in wise dealing and the discipline of wise thoughtfulness, righteousness, justice, and integrity. And this is just talking about the book of Proverbs, but you can apply this to the entire Bible. That prudence may be given to the simple, and knowledge, discretion, and discernment to the youth. The wise also will hear and increase in learning. And the person of understanding will acquire skill and attain to sound counsel, so that he may be able to steer his course rightly. The word of God helps us steer our course rightly. But see, without the Holy Spirit, the word of God is just what some people look at as a book, a history book, just a book of accounts. But see, when we accept Jesus the Christ as our Lord and Savior into our hearts, and he comes in and sits on the throne of our hearts and lives and makes his abode, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit comes into us, and he brings with him his gifting of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings us revelation and gives us knowledge and reveals the spiritual things, the supernatural things that are contained in the Word of God. For there are underlying supernatural things, supernatural truths that enlighten us and help us to use the Word of God to steer our way rightly. That people may understand, verse 6 says, a proverb and a figure of speech or an enigma with its interpretation, and the words of the wise and their dark sayings or riddles. Verse 7 is key. The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord. is the beginning and the principal and choice part of knowledge. Before you can know anything, we have to begin with the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord. Because that right there, giving honor to Him, giving reverence to Him, recognizing Him as the source, the author and finisher of everything, including our faith, the maker of all things. For we understand then, when we worship reverently and worshipfully fear Him, that we acknowledge Him as the one. We are in submission. We acknowledge that we are submitted to the Creator, to the higher one, to the highest Almighty One. And we are not in and of ourselves creators of things. But we recognize that it is Him, and it is His power, and it is His authority, and it is His ability that we have been given as a gift to operate here on this planet and to carry out the assignment that He has given each and every one of us to do. And we recognize that He is superior, supreme, almighty. And that right there, Scripture says, is the beginning and the principal and choice part of knowledge. Its starting point and its essence. But the second part of this verse says, but fools despise skillful and godly wisdom, instruction, and discipline. Verse 8 says, my son, hear the instruction of your father. Reject not nor forsake the teaching of your mother, for they are a victor's chaplet or garland of grace upon your head, and chains and pendants of gold worn by kings for your neck. How important is the word? How important is the word of God in our lives? Is it just something we just pick up when we are in trouble? Is it something we just open up and read when we have time? Or is it our lifeline? Is it our lifeline? Is it our guide, our instruction booklet given to us specifically from God Himself? From God Himself. How much should we treasure His words? And what would we do without them? Let's go back to Psalm 119. It says, with my whole heart, verse 10 says, have I sought you, inquiring for and of you and yearning for you. Oh, let me not wander or step aside, either in ignorance or willfully from your commandments. Your word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. What is a statute? A law? A command? Instruction? Let's look up the word statute. Let's look that up. Let's see. Statute. A written law passed by a legislative body. a rule, a regulation, a decree, an edict, a command. And we just read what Jesus said his command was. In John 15:12, this is my commandment. You love one another just as I have loved you. If we meditate on that, how did Jesus love us? In what ways did he love us? And how is it we are supposed to love one another the way Jesus has loved us? That is so powerful. That is so powerful. If we look at the life of Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus our Christ, our Lord and Savior, what he did, how he healed, how he talked, when he talked, when he prayed, when he imparted wisdom, he was continually imparting wisdom. He was continually giving of himself. He was continually giving instruction. He was continually teaching. And he was operating outside of tradition, outside of the box, as they say. God came and did a new thing in the earth through Jesus the Christ. How did he love us? How is he loving us right now? In our lives, the things that we do, every day that we wake up, how is Jesus loving us? Do you see his love? Do you see his love in your life? How he's kept our families. How he keeps us day by day. How he continues to allow our heart to beat from the time we were born all the way up until now. How he gives us the Holy Spirit if we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior into our heart, and how the Holy Spirit comforts us in times of need. Instructs us and directs us and tells us where to go in the Word of God so we can find our way. As the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways, every way, acknowledge him. That is the worshipful and fearing, the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord. When you acknowledge him in all your ways, that is the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord, which is the beginning and principal and choice part of knowledge, the starting point of his knowledge and the starting point of the essence of his knowledge and wisdom. Acknowledging him. Psalm 119:11 says, your word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against you. But how will we know it if we don't get into it? If we don't open it up, if we don't read it, if we don't meditate it, if we don't eat it as our daily bread, how will we know it? How will we be able to steer our course rightly? How will the Holy Spirit be able to change us and teach us and renew our mind daily? If we do not read it and meditate it and ask God about it. The word Jesus the Christ, if we meditate him, if we meditate the word. The Holy Spirit brings clarity. The Holy Spirit makes the Bible come alive. The word of God is alive. It is not just words on the page. It is living. Verse 12 says, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Teach me your rules. Teach me your commands. Teach me your regulations. Teach me your rules. With my lips have I declared and recounted all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. And verses 15 and 16 in Psalm 119 says, I will meditate on your precepts. And not only will I meditate on your precepts, but I will have respect to your ways, the paths of life marked out by your law. And I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. That is what Jesus sent the Comforter to do. He told us the Comforter will bring all things to our remembrance, whatsoever things he has taught us. The Holy Spirit directs us in the Word of God, but we first have to be willing and yielded and surrendered vessels. We have to be surrendered vessels to the Word of God. We have to be willing to hear Him and hear His voice. We have to be willing to listen, to stop everything that we're doing and give God our undivided attention so we can clearly hear His instruction. The Holy Spirit gives clear, concise, precise instruction. And some of the instructions that He gives us may not make sense. But look at the examples in the Word of God that we have, especially when it comes to healing or deliverance. Jesus told people to do certain things. The prophets told people to do certain things. And when those people followed what the instructions they were given, even though those instructions, like, you know, Jesus healed the blind man by spitting on the ground and putting the mud on his eyes. The prophet Elijah told Naaman to go dip into the sea, cleansed, I believe, of leprosy. And the sea that he sent him to was the dirtiest one. A lot of times when the Holy Spirit moves, it's not going to be what we think. It may not be what we expect. We must be submitted. That's how we receive and lay up the word in our heart, that we might not sin against God. By being willing, submitted, yielded vessels to Him, by giving our lives to Him, by saying, Lord Jesus, I cannot make it without You. You are the Creator of all things. I believe You came to this earth, and You walked among mankind, and You gave Your life as a ransom, as a payment to the Almighty God for the sin that I have had in my life. You gave up your life for me so that I wouldn't have to go through the punishment of my sin. And Lord Jesus, you made it so easy for me to be reconciled to God. I believe you are the Son of God, Lord Jesus. And I believe you gave your life for me on Calvary. And I believe by faith in my heart of hearts that you were raised from the dead by Abba God the Father, and that you live and are living right now forevermore. You are seated on the throne of God, making intercession for me at the Father's right hand. You are praying for me. You are praying and pleading for me to give my life to you. So Lord Jesus, because you have shown me such love, because you have loved me so much, I am compelled to serve you. I am compelled to love you. I am compelled to obey you in every way. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into my heart and setting up your residence in me. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you have given unto me. A gift. I freely receive you, Lord Jesus, my gift. I freely receive you, Holy Spirit, my gift. I freely receive you, Abba, God the Father, my gift. I freely receive the ability to have an intimate relationship with you, Lord. An intimate relationship with you, Abba, my Father, my Creator. I freely accept the ability that was made available to me through the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross for me to be able to come into the throne room of the holiest of holies personally and commune with you and talk with you and spend time with you and hear your voice and laugh with you and enjoy you as you teach me your ways, as you teach me your statutes. Lord Jesus, I thank you for living in me now. I thank you for cleansing my sin away with your blood. I thank you for making me whiter than snow. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for my salvation. And yes, I will acknowledge you in all my ways. I will not lean to my own understanding, because that is the reverent and worshipful fear of you. And it is the beginning and the principal and choice part of knowledge. Its starting point and its essence. I love you, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those of you who prayed that prayer with me, welcome to the family of God. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We love you. God loves you. We love you. For those of you who rededicated your lives to Abba, Jesus the Christ, you know, you knew the way, but you kind of strayed. He's been there all the time. Do you see his love? Do you see the love of God? How he has provided for us. How he has given things to us. How he has given himself to us. All we have to do is receive him. That's it. Just receive him. Receive his presence. Receive him into your heart, into your thoughts. Let him come in and give you his peace. Let him come in and heal you. Heal your mind. Heal your emotions. Heal your body. Let him heal you. That is a gift. Amen. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. To God be all the glory for the great things he has done. May the Lord continue to bless us. May the Lord continue to keep all of us. May the Lord continue to make his face shine upon all of us as he looks at us so lovingly, so intimately, so sweetly. May the Lord continue to lift his countenance and turn his face toward us continually. May the Lord be gracious unto all of us continually. And may the Lord continue to give us all his peace, his love, his joy, his long-suffering, his patience, himself, the fullness of him. The fullness of him. The fullness of God in us. May he continue to give us the fullness of him all in all. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One, saying God bless you. And thank you so much for tuning in today. Make this day count. This is God's day, his gift that he has given unto you. And you are a gift. And he is a gift. And he loves you so much. Amen. Until we meet again, God bless you.